Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country cannot hold meaningful talks with the U.S. and Tehran's disputed nuclear program if Washington is threatening his country. His comments at a news conference in Cairo yesterday echoed those of Iran's supreme leader, who said earlier in the day American proposals for direct talks are pointless while Washington is holding a gun to Iran through sanctions. Ahmadinejad said, quote, "The reason is clear. Talks are held to arrive at an understanding, not to impose anything. Such talks will be meaningless if someone raises a club and imposes something on Iran."
All right, Lala, we've got Frank Romano on live. He is the author of Love and Terror in the Middle East. He's a Mideast peace activist and a lawyer. He's joining us actually from overseas. Frank, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
So what do you make of this whole love affair we're seeing with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and the leader of Egypt? It's a little frightening, isn't it?
It's as love affairs can tend to be sometimes. There's quite a bit of worry here that in the event that Iran is not willing to meet with the U.S., even though, unrealistically saying that the U.S. is holding a gun to their heads, therefore, what's the point of negotiating? Well, both sides have a certain amount of leverage you go into negotiation with. The Americans could also turn around and say, well, Iran is, with its activities in the Middle East, holding a gun to the heads of the U.S. and the Western countries as well.
And it could be argued, too, that Iran's possible involvement with Hezbollah, I mean, that's obviously an issue for many nations, most importantly, Israel. And Iran's ambassador to Bulgaria, though, is denying that they were involved at all in that bus attack that Hezbollah is believed to be involved in. So a lot of kind of unhealthy alliances in the Middle East, and a lot for Western nations and Israel to be worried about, right?
Yes, and the underlying relationship, and it's not even perhaps relationship, it's a clear relationship with Hezbollah, supplying Hezbollah mm-hmm. with arms, as well as Hamas in Palestine. Its involvement in Bulgaria hasn't been absolutely confirmed, but behind it all is this extremist Islamist approach that you have a very fanatic doctrine behind it, plus arms, to destabilize the area, and they're succeeding in doing that.
Do you think we're ever going to see in our lifetime peace in the Middle East? We've got the president planning a trip over there. He will meet with leaders in the Palestinian territory as well as in Israel. I know a lot of folks are hoping he can help jumpstart something. But as long as Hamas has control over parts of that region, it seems like that would be unable to achieve.
Well, I think we can make a distinction, really, between Gaza, where Hamas is in power, and the West Bank, where the Palestinian Authority is in power, which is working pretty closely with the State of Israel. And, of course, Hamas is there as well. But I think we need to point the fingers back to ourselves. The visit by Obama to the Middle East should produce fruit, be fruitful, in the event that we're willing to get more involved. This light footstep approach in some ways is effective, in others, and in particular with Israel and Palestine, is totally ineffective. It's time for us to take an active role, and we might have to do something unpopular, at least with respect to American constituents, the majority of constituents. We might have to start pressuring Israel, which doesn't seem to be pointing fingers at ourselves and our allies as our own devil's advocate. It doesn't seem to be too willing to really jumpstart the process, the peace process themselves.
Well, you may know, Frank, of course, White House spokesman Jay Carney yesterday said that this trip is not going to be about proposing any kind of new peace plan. It's just more about President Obama's first term and Benjamin Netanyahu's his second term, both of them having new terms. So what do you expect to come out of this, if not something about peace talks?
Well, there I'm in favor of that approach. It makes a lot of sense. Since the second term is beginning, to reestablish links, personal connections, and then test the waters there. I think that's very wise. But on the other hand, if we're set on the light footstep approach, that no matter what we do, no matter how close we get to our allies over there, we're going to jump back when it comes to starting to push for peace, then I think that visit will not be fruitful.
What about the settlements in East Jerusalem? I know that, that's a big source of contention. It doesn't seem like as long as Israel continues to build settlements, there ever can be a real meaningful discussion going forward. Do you think the president will talk about that? And do you think that, how can they ever get past that if they continue to build?
Well, that's one of the big points of the book, Love and Terror in the Middle East. I talk about the settlements in East Jerusalem and the confiscation of Palestinian land in the West Bank, where there are over 200 settlements and almost 500,000 Jews living on Palestinian land. These two policies, especially the Netanyahu government, are clearly in opposition to American policy. But when the settlements are still extended, are continued to be extended, and we can note Vice President Biden's visit to Israel over a year ago, where the State of Israel announced that they're going to, in spite of the fact he's trying to jumpstart the peace process, they're going to add to the settlements in East Jerusalem in particular. It's up to us to take that role to carry out our policy. If we're just voice policy and then the settlements are extended, it looks like we're being hypocritical. We're voicing policy against something, but we're absolutely doing nothing to pressure our allies to do the right thing, which is to begin the peace process. To do that, we're going to have to think about withdrawing from a lot of the occupation in the West Bank and stop the aggressive building of apartments and removing Palestinians from East Jerusalem, which is chartered to be their next potential capital.
All right.
One state.
Frank Romano is the author of Love and Terror in the Middle East. He's an activist and an attorney. Thank you so much for your perspective here on America's Radio News.
My pleasure. Thank you.